Okay. I will pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word, we thank you for it and pray for your directing and your working in our hearts. We pray your Holy Spirit would work within our hearts as we hear your word. And help us, Lord, to take your word and not just hear it, but consider it, meditate upon it, and put into practice your counsel, your word to us. And also, Lord, this morning we lift up to you the people of the Ukraine and what's going on there. And that's not the only place in the world, of course, that there's severe unrest. There's many other places, but we do lift those people up to you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that we know that you're on the throne and we can have our trust in you. We lift up our own government, our nation as well. And Lord, pray that there would be a turning to you in our government and with people in general. And show us, Lord, how we can right here apply your truth to our lives and share that with the people around us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, as things get crazier and crazier in the world, isn't it a blessing to know that we know who's in control overall, whatever goes on? So, and I pray that we can be an example to people in our own circles of having that trust and that confidence, even when we don't know how everything's going to work out in the end ourselves as far as the goings-on in this world. And it's great to be going through the Gospel of Mark and seeing how the kingdom of God works. And we'll get into that more as we carry on through Mark this morning. In chapter 4, we're going to look at the parable of the sower, or really the soils, is that's the point, is the soil that the seed, the word of God, lands in. What kind of soil or ground are we? And so it's very practical, really. And so I hope we can be encouraged and also take some instruction from the Lord as well. I'll read the first... I'm going to read the first 9 verses. And then this is a great parable, because sometimes with parables, you look at them, and with parables, if you don't understand what the key to the parable is or the main point, it is possible to take parables into different directions that the Lord did not intend. So with this one, thankfully the disciples didn't understand, asked, and Jesus explains this one himself. So it's actually a pretty easy text to teach through, because Jesus did all the work on this one as he explained it himself. So let's read through the first 9 verses. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. So with the crowds, you can imagine the challenge it must have been at times with a crowd pressing in on Jesus from all sides, or trying to, in this situation. He solves that by getting in a boat, getting off the shore a little bit. And then the crowd is in front of him, and also there's the natural amplification of the water. And if you've been on the water much, sound really travels across the water. It's pretty amazing. Verse 2, then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So, meaning, not just hear it, but do something with it, take it to heart, put it to practice. So Jesus taught with parables at times. We see them in the many in the Gospels. Parable, it means to lay or cast alongside. And so it's a story, an illustration that lays alongside a teaching. You can think of it that way. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, puts it this way. Well, I kind of paraphrased him, but because this was long, but he describes it like this. A parable starts as a picture that gets our attention, becomes a mirror in which we see ourselves as we continue to look in faith, see ourselves, and as we continue to look in faith, it becomes a window through which we see God and his truth. So it gives us a picture, it can give us somewhat of a mirror to see ourselves and a window into God's truth. So a parable helps us understand the truth that the Lord is trying to teach us. And it very much is, I think, Jesus used this as a to get people's attention and emphasize a point, really. And as I mentioned at the beginning, this parable is not about the sower. The sower is in the parable, but the point is the soil. The seed is the same, the sower's the same in the parable, but there are different types of soil, and as we see, three types end up producing nothing that lasts, and one multiplies, and doesn't just multiply a little bit, but 30, 60, 100 times. So it's, whether it's 30 or 100, both of those are a lot more. 30 times is actually pretty impressive. So, a good seed, and as we'll see, the seed is the word, a good seed in good soil will produce. Verses 10 on to 12. So, Jesus teaches the parable to the multitude, but then verse 10, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may not see, or seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. So first of all, there's a good example here in those who were around Jesus. If you don't understand something, ask a question. And it's good practice. Sometimes we don't like to ask questions because we're embarrassed that we don't know the answer already or that kind of thing. But better to ask a question and understand than to carry on not understanding and then not practicing correctly. I'm sure many of you have experienced, as I have, whether it's in the home or on a, say, let's say a job situation where someone's new and learning, and I tell people, ask, if you don't know what to do, ask. Because to try and fake your way through it, doing things wrong, is not a great, that person needs to be watched all the time. Where if you know someone will ask a question when they kind of get lost, it shows some wisdom, really. There's wisdom in being able to ask a question when you're unsure. So it's a good example to us and for us to apply to God's word and spiritual things. If we don't understand, it's a good thing to ask. Now, we can ask each other as part of being in the body of Christ and a fellowship of believers, is to ask each other and dig into God's word and talk about things. Also, prayer. Ask the Lord to reveal his truth, help us understand. And I think it's one of the things that we can be guilty of is, well, one, a lot of Christians don't read their Bibles, and then there's reading our Bibles kind of almost out of context with life and not talking to the Lord about what he is speaking to us. Think about relationship. It doesn't work if it's one-sided. So he speaks to us, we speak to him. But really good practice to remember to speak to him about what he speaks to us rather than, okay, I'll read this passage in the Bible. That's a good thing, but it's good to talk to the Lord about that before we get into our list of cares and concerns that aren't necessarily related to the particular truth that's in that passage we just read from or listen to. So, the Lord is the one who is best able to give us insight on his word. So, they've asked, and a couple things in here. Jesus says to them, to you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So, mystery. In Scripture, when we see the word mystery, mystery is not something that cannot be understood. A mystery is a truth that the understanding of which can only be revealed by God. So this is something we're not going to arrive at on our own without revelation from the Lord. Thankfully, his word is his revelation. The Holy Spirit does work within our hearts to help us in that. So mystery, it doesn't mean something you can never understand, but it's something that we do look to the Lord to help us understand. We look to his word. So from Jesus' statement, we know that some will understand. He said even the people that were in front of him that day, for some, they would understand. For others, he says, who are outside, all things come in parables. And he makes this statement, seeing they may see and not perceive. So they would hear but not understand. Lest they turn and their sins be forgiven them. So we see that with the parables, some would understand, some would not. In fact, the parables make it more difficult for some to understand, those who are outside. So outside, those who do not actually have a desire to seek the Lord or understand. So think about the crowd that would have been around Jesus. Some were earnestly and intently seeking him. They were looking for the Messiah. They wanted to hear his teaching. They wanted to know and understand. Some, they just wanted a miracle. It's not a bad thing to want a miracle, but all they wanted was a miracle. The teaching was probably just, let's get this over with so we can get somebody healed. Which, again, not a bad thing, but Jesus, as we've talked about, was very clear that teaching and preaching was the main mission he was on in his ministry leading up to the cross, not miracles. His goal was not to heal everyone in the nation of Israel. And of course, some in the crowd, they wanted to destroy him, his opponents, the religious establishment, if you will. So for them, he's like, I don't need to understand. I'm not going out of my way that they should understand. But those who are seeking, well, to you, you will understand. And this is true today, I believe. We'll talk a little bit more when we look at the meaning of the parable. But with parables, there's a couple things. Jesus, he both revealed truth, so he catch people's interest with them, grab their attention. And I think with the parables, it should spark some, okay, what does he mean? It's not quite as easy to grab onto, so I do need to take some time with this to understand what the Lord is saying here and dig in. I think it's probably good practice of parables for us because we really do have to think about it. We should think about all of God's word and, hey, what does this mean? Lord, how should I apply this? What does this actually mean? What was the intended meaning for the original audience, and what is the meaning for me today? So I think parables really kind of spark or initiate that thought process. And so the sincere person will understand that Jesus says that. And I believe it's true for us. Those who are disciples, those who desire to understand, the ability is there. But the parables also hide truth. And we've talked about why some people come for their own gain. And I think if we have that approach with God's word today, it's probably still the same end result. And again, we'll look at the soils because it speaks to this as well. It's really the state of the heart will determine kind of what category a person falls into, whether it's one who will understand, who has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom, or one who's kind of on the outside, not given to understand. And it's interesting, Jesus says, you know, they're not going to understand, these people who are on the outside and don't desire to understand. And he says, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. In thinking about this, and I've heard different, you know, why did Jesus word this way? I think if the Lord taught with every bit of his authority and power, a person would, like, he has in his deity the power to force a person, but he doesn't make them understand. He doesn't force himself on any one of us. Salvation is a free gift to everyone. But he doesn't force himself, doesn't force his will on anyone. So he doesn't force the truth on the crowd. But he certainly gives it to them as he gives it to us today. Verse 13. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" We'll stop there. So it's interesting. He says, well, you don't understand this one. What about the rest? Kind of making it seem like this one is key somehow. Now, whether it's because this one was easy and the rest are more difficult, I'm not sure. This one does seem very straightforward, but then Jesus does explain it for us, so it does make it pretty straightforward, right? And so it's pretty easy to say, well, how could they not figure this one out? We all know the general answer to this one. I do think it's fairly easy to understand, but obviously I think someone could look at it and go, you know, oh, I need to do something better with my garden. Because we've got Jesus talking about soil, and oh, mine's way too rocky. And, you know, but this isn't the main point, right? He's talking about spiritual things. And so not to be too hard on those who didn't understand at the time. I think there's things in this parable that do help us understand future parables, as Jesus does give us an explanation. So, for instance, the seed is the word. So we can remember that as we go into other parables in the future. One that's interesting is the birds are mentioned. Verse 4. The seed that fell by the wayside, the birds of the air came and devoured it. Was he just talking about birds? Well, we'll find out that no, he's talking about Satan. So there's a note, okay, birds. And often the birds of the air do reference forces of darkness or evil in Scripture. And that is a point that can get missed in some of the parables. We'll look at that. We'll see an example next week. So I go, okay. Birds and Satan, we see that link in this parable. So there's certain things we can learn here that will help us in other parables. And then the other thing, which I believe is very important, is this parable talks about the heart and the state of our hearts. If we're one of the soils that is unproductive as far as the Word of God, then that will affect how we understand God's truth in general. If we're good soil, that will help in our understanding of His Word. So I believe that really is a really key thing. Is if we understand this parable, we learn from it, apply it, it's going to help us with the rest of the parables, but really God's Word in general and our relationship with God in general. Verses 14 and 15. So we'll go through Jesus' explanation now. Soil by soil. And we're just going to go through this parable this morning because it's, I don't want to lose the point of this by adding other things to it. So, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So this is a real thing that happens. There's four types of soil. They were in, all those types of soil were represented in the crowd that Jesus was addressing. I'm sure of it. There was a big crowd. It's represented in most crowds where the word is taught. You know, the smaller the crowd, maybe we hope that's not the case. But with this first one, it describes the hard heart. So the seed falls by the wayside. It's not even in, not even quite landing where it should. It's in hard ground. Maybe it's the pathway. It's packed down. So when we think of that with the word of God, a person hears, it says Satan comes immediately. So speaking of a hardness towards God and God's word, it's kind of like it bounces off. It doesn't make any impact. There's zero root. Immediately, Satan snatches it away. It's like before it's even got a chance, Satan's got it. And I think this speaks of someone who has resisted God's word and the Holy Spirit long enough that their heart is hardened to a point where there's just, it's not like the, well, I think of Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus said. There's no knocking at this point. It's hardness, and it's, so picture the seed just hits, and Satan's not hindered at all from just sweeping that, snatching that away. So this is a heart, and when we say heart, we talk about the core of who we are, heart, mind, soul. This is who we are. This is the person who is determined to reject the gospel. There's no pondering it. It's just rejection. The word and the conviction of the Holy Spirit is blocked. Their conscience is seared, and the enemy has an easy time. So we need to be careful of any kind of hardness of heart, because it could end up like this. So this is the end result, I suppose, the heart that is just will not be affected by God's truth. So we could think of some of the Pharisees in that group in Jesus' day. They see a miracle, they want to kill him. Kind of reaction. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So, from a hard heart, we move to a shallow heart. There's not enough. The roots don't grab hold. There's enough there for something to happen. And we could look at, is this dead? No, it's back. Okay. So, quick growth or excitement, but no root. Trials come and they don't stand. It's kind of like, well, this seemed great and exciting, but now that it's getting hard, or I need to obey the Lord in this area or that area, or I thought this was supposed to be easier than this. The commitment is seen to be not commitment, because they don't endure. And so it says they stumble. So, when it comes to sacrifice, I think of the deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, that kind of thing. When hit, faced with that, it's like, hang on, I didn't sign up for this, and I'm done. Maybe not processed quite like that, but that is what happens. I think this is one reason not to shortchange the gospel when we're giving the gospel, the truth of God's word. We may desperately want people to be saved, but we are not to change the message. It is good for a person to count the cost and know what they're getting into. Because if the root is shallow, there's a grave danger that when the trials come, when the real commitment is tested, that they will fall. And so I think we need to be very careful that we don't in some way play a part in that by shortchanging them with what the gospel is. Now, regardless, even because in the parable, the seed is good. Some will, you know, get excited about it for a time and then fade away or turn away. That does happen. Verse 18. Now there are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So there's hard, there's shallow, there's also a crowded heart. There's too much in there, or we could say a divided heart. The word has a place to take root, but there are other things, thorns, which are allowed to grow as well. And I certainly understand this with my attempts at gardening. It's a crowded plot, really, because there's a lot of vegetables that get choked. So we don't want our hearts to look like that. So there's other things growing in this soil, and there are significant things that, if they're left to grow, will choke out the very seed that has been planted there, the seed of the word. So, and a couple things are mentioned: cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches. So Jesus, I suspect he could have added more things, but here a couple that are very common: cares of the world, so worrying about our needs, making ends meet, what's going to happen, how am I going to do this, how am I going to look after that, what if this happens, that kind of thing. I don't have enough control. I need to, you know, these things that kind of run through our minds and drive some of our worries. And of course, Jesus says, you know, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, these cares, they're just going to be looked after, but you're going to have to trust and seek the Lord. So the cares of the world very much can choke out the growth of the word in a life, in our lives even. And then the deceitfulness of riches, really the wanting more, which of course our society is obsessed with. And so these are two things that are very relevant for us in the time and the culture we live in. We worry about a lot of things, and we also, we're told to push to acquire more or gain more. of the material things of the world. And Jesus says these are two things that are dangerous. They certainly have the ability to choke out the word in a person's life. And it's simply because they are growing, they're being fed more than the good seed. And I think wrapped up in this is very much a ignoring of the word, if we want to talk about the practical part of it, and more attention to the thorns, if you will, and it leads to an unfruitfulness in a life. And a seed that doesn't produce fruit at some point is not fulfilling its purpose. Isaiah 55, it's a great reminder there that God's word, it has a purpose. It's not to be void. And ultimately, his plan and purpose, his word will not be void. But in a life and our response to God, the type of soil we have, we are, has an effect on what happens. Okay, verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So this is the good soil, the good heart or fruitful one. And good to note here, and we see the 30, 60, and 100 times. The healthy Christian life is not to have just a little bit of fruit. It's to have a lot. 30 is a lot. 60 and 100 is more, but they all speak of abundance. They speak of, it's not the same. It doesn't look exactly the same for everybody, but it speaks of abundance. So this is the Lord's desire for us. This is to be the result of, you know, God's word active in our lives and being fruitful. And I think of the word, the written word, and what comes to mind is the living word. Jesus, the living word as well. The work of the Holy Spirit. It's to produce fruit. John 10:10. Jesus came to bring abundant life or full life. The enemy comes to kill, steal, destroy. We see he can snatch the seed away. He'll snatch the word away. If he can, he'll twist the word if given an opportunity. And so there's quite a contrast between an abundant life and one where the enemy has the ability to come in and kill, steal, and destroy. And I think one of the things we can see from this parable is the hard heart is really an open door to the enemy being able to do just that, kill, steal, and destroy the effect of God's word in a person's life. And this really speaks to there is a spiritual battle. We don't see it with our eyes, so sometimes we forget about it, but it's real. We don't have to get overly paranoid about it, but we do have to realize, I believe, that it's real. Paul talks about it in Ephesians, and we need to put on the armor and know that we need the Lord's help to stand and not be passive and all even forgetful that it's happening. Because a battle is a battle. When it's described as a battle, it means there's a fight going on. Thankfully, as we trust the Lord, we're guaranteed the result. We're guaranteed victory. So I think sometimes it's the distractions that get us. So we need to remember that the battle is happening. And be those who have good soil, that our lives would be such, we treat the Word of God in such a way that it would produce fruit. So what does Jesus say with this soil or this person? They hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit. So hearing, reading, hearing, intake the word of God. Accept it. That's not just, oh yeah, I believe the Bible's true. You know, Jesus lived, he died, he saved me. I've got the Bible. I look at it once in a while. As I've heard put, I'm as good as the next guy. I don't know who the next guy was, but, you know, it's that kind of attitude, right? Our measuring with, you know, we'll look, if we're trying to set the bar, we'll look to someone who's, seems like they're lower than us. But that's not how it works. God's word is his truth. And so how do we approach it? Do we accept it in that, okay, this is the truth. And this is God's word to me. And then, okay, what does it mean? What does it mean to me now? Lord, can you help me with this? How should I apply it? And so it's really, we talk about belief at times. It's believing something enough to put it into practice. Because where there is no practice, and we've had the opportunity to, sometimes there's certain things, perhaps we haven't quite had the chance to put it into practice yet. But if are we putting God's word into practice? Do we even have the desire, the resolve to put it into practice to the best of our ability, even though at times it can be hard? Be a struggle. We don't at times. Are we willing to confess our sin? Are we willing to repent and come back to the Lord and go, thank you for forgiving me, and I'm willing to carry on. My desire is to obey. So the other extreme is the hard heart that's just like, there's no desire whatsoever. I'm not going to do it. So hear it, accept it, believe it, put it into practice, and then our lives will bear fruit. I do think with the imagery of a seed and being sown, we kind of want immediate, the instant fruit. But with planting a seed, it does take some time for it to grow. And I do believe when it comes to obedience and seeking the Lord, following him, taking the, you know, having the good soil, sometimes we don't see the fruit that we want to see as quickly as we want to see it. But this is part of the trust process that when we obey the Lord, it's the right thing to do, whether we get the, you know, the immediate result we want or not. And I do believe a lot of times sin, we could describe it as the shortcut, the enemy saying, well, you can have all this, you just have to do this thing, and you can have it all. And that process, somewhere in that will be a disobedience to the Lord. So hear the word, accept it, bear fruit. As we close, I think it's good to note that this is talking about states of the heart for people We can think of initial gospel, whether a person accepts it or not, very much. Some are totally rejected. Some, you know, they're shallow, some crowded, some it's good soil. I do think we can apply this to ourselves daily, really, as we receive God's word. And hopefully we receive it or intake it daily. You know, how am I responding to God's word? Have I got a bit of hardness? Yeah. I don't really want to understand this. Are my roots not very deep? Is there some crowding going on? Other things? And I'm not talking about the salvation issue with this. I'm just, Jeremiah says the heart is deceitfully wicked and beyond cure. The only cure is Christ. But the heart, you know, we're fickle and we can become divided. David prayed, Lord, unite my heart, that I would fear your name. And so it's a good thing, you know, I don't think get too caught up in, you know, exactly what is my heart like, but knowing, okay, you know, the human heart is prone at times to getting hard towards God or approaching the word a little bit shallow or crowded. And so being aware of that and being honest before the Lord, Lord, I don't want to be any of those things. I want to be good soil for the seed of your word to grow in and bear fruit. And also, how we respond to God's word, or how another person responds for sharing with them. Remember, it's never a reflection on God's word. It is a reflection on the state of a heart, whether it's ours or someone else. And it's worth noting in that there is a temptation sometimes to go, I need to make this a little easier, you know, sharing with someone. You know, the cross, submission to the Lord, denying yourself, this is hard stuff. Maybe we need to be a little more relevant or make it a bit easier. Not a good thing to do. We never want to play around with God's word. We don't need to make it easier. We certainly don't need to make it harder. But share the truth in love, and you know the Lord will work in a person's heart. You know, those who are humble before him, he'll work with them. And there's different types of soil. In this parable, 1 in 4 take it seriously. I wouldn't go too far trying to translate that over into percentages, but there's different types of heart. First question, what type of soil are we? Individually, what type of soil are you? What type of soil am I? And then knowing that as we share the good news, it'll have different reactions in different people because of the state of their hearts. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that as we've looked at this parable of the soils, I pray each one of us would be good soil, that your word would have deep roots in our lives, and that we would bear fruit. I pray for the kids downstairs. Lord, as they learn of you, we pray for them. We pray that they would have a deep root, your word would have deep roots in their lives. And you know what's ahead of them, just as you know what's ahead of us in life. And we pray, Lord, that we would have a deep and strong relationship with you, each one of us. Thank you for your word. I thank you that it's not changing. There's no error in it. And it will bear fruit. So, Lord, We look forward to the fruit of your word and that abundance in our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.